Good evening.
I would say thank you to the elders for the opportunity to speak, but they're the ones that scheduled me. So I had to deliver on my duty as put forth. But I thank them for having the plan each month for men to speak. There were, I guess Mo's sermon gave me kind of a inkling starting toward this topic, and then I watched a movie, and it was rather interesting because on everyone's arm right here was an electronic clock, and it was called In Time. And after a certain point, that time took effect, and then you didn't have anything really except what was on your time. When you worked, you got more time, but when you bought something, you got rid of time. So you're in the entire system of socially was based around this clock that was on your arm. It was called In Time, and you could see that when the seconds were coming, and to know that when you were fixing to die. And so what came from that is my subject tonight of time. It's been 30 to 40 seconds. That would have been great right before bed. But I think you get my point. I just wasted 30 seconds of your lives by being silent. What is your definition of time? Think about it for a second for me. If you had to describe time to someone, say, in that was coming here from, say, Africa, where their time, there's nothing on their wrist to tell what time is, how would you describe time to them? What would you use? Seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, seasons, as Mo put forth, or years. Something I, you know, we engineering types are really kind of strange. So, most of you know that I love math. If a man lives to the age of 70, 3 score and 10, he will have lived 2,207,520,000 seconds. This week, I will turn 3 score. Which means I've got just over 864,000 seconds left. Now, of course, in the movie, you could still die from any means possible. You know, you could still be shot. But they'd walk up and they'd steal your time. Whatever time you had left, they would take it. But I think there's a much more important question that we need to ask ourselves. And what is time according to God? We know the Genesis account. Talks about the evening and morning were the first day, evening and morning were the second day. In the sixth day, he created man and woman. But God had to establish something else prior to time existing. Not just his plan of our creation. But he had to plan to give us free choice. Because when he put them in the garden, he told, the command was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They did. So God had to establish before time began that he would give his creation free choice. Read with me Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. God simultaneously established a plan to create all that he did. But he also had to create at the same time a plan for man to be reconciled to him in case, if and after, which Adam and Eve did sin. God had to establish physical life and death if they disobeyed, because he had to run them from the garden lest they touch the tree of life and live forever. So we had to establish a physical life and death. But he also had to take and establish spiritual life and death at the same time. Now this is going to sound unusual, but please listen to me. Everyone in this room is both alive and dead at the exact same time. Okay? I'll repeat it. Everyone in this room and everyone in the world at this very moment is both alive and dead simultaneously. And here's where I think the definition of God's time comes in. Because when we choose to sin, we separate ourselves from God. And we have a finite amount of time till we physically die, and the ability to be reconciled to God is closed forever. We make a choice before that death, or it's made, we have no option as to reconcile it afterwards. Read with me Romans chapter 6. I am grateful for a God that takes and had a plan from the beginning to reconcile me to him because of my sin, through his Son. Romans 6, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. It's our choice. We choose whether of the two spiritual deaths we're going to take, or if you will, the spiritual lives that we're going to be a part of. Because there are only two spiritual choices. We're either alive to sin and dead to God, or we're dead to sin and alive to God. When I say, when we die, those are going to be what we have to answer for when this life is over. I'm going to read some few scriptures. John chapter 8, verse 24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Go back to Romans 6, please. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then let's back up to verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether sin to death or obedience to righteousness? God desires every man to be saved, but we're the ones that make the choice. At this moment, whose slave are you? At this moment in life, who do you serve? Now, we can be Christians, but we can still serve self, and we can still serve sin, and we can still choose to put ourselves ahead of what God has set forth, and we can die once again, and not be in a right relationship with God until we repent and come back. But at this moment, who do you serve? Again, thanks be to God that He provided us a way to be reconciled to Him through His Son. John 3:16, we all know well. Let's read it again. Again, be reminded. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. Though He was a son, He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. We make a choice each and every day. Let's go back to Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 15 through 23. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one slaves whom you obey, whether to sin to death or obedience to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and to the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What condition do we see ourselves in tonight? I ask a lot of questions sometimes. But it's something to get us to think. Where do we stand before God at this moment? How do we take advantage of the gift if we're not right with God? Because there's no middle ground. There's no gray areas. We are either choosing to serve self or we're choosing to serve God. We are either alive to sin or we're alive to God. We're either dead to sin or we're dead to God. Read with me. Go back. For me, it's one page. Romans 6, verses 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Excuse me. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of you were baptized into Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore you were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we were united together in likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that the old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we've died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer hath dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we have taken and examined the Scriptures, when we've looked at and we've become to understand what sin is, and that sin has separated us from God, and we come to take and want something besides eternal damnation through this life, after this life, then we have to understand and take into account and believe what the Bible says. Because that is the only way to God, is through Christ the Son. That taking advantage of those things, or taking and obeying those things, is taking advantage of the gift of God, eternal salvation through His Son. But I think there's one thing more that we need to remember before we make that commitment. Or if we've made that commitment, something we need to remember. Is we must understand that this is a lifelong commitment. However long our lives are, we do not know and what is going to happen tomorrow. But what we do as a commitment for life. Turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And of course, we also know the end of Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Verses 13 and 14. Because it's not strictly for us, or if you will, those of us who have obeyed the gospel, but it's for everyone that we know that they need to hear this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We're given the ability to choose, but we better make our choices carefully, because everything, it doesn't say some of the things. It doesn't say most of the things. It says everything that we've done will come forth, whether it be evil or good. And turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Because just as everything will be revealed, starting in verse 2, do you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night? For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. The end of the matter is this. Serve God and keep His commandments through the plan that He established before time began. Because when there were Adam and Eve were in the garden, there was no need of time. It was only until after they were sinned and were forced out of the garden that there was actually a need for time. We can understand and we know that we are finite beings. And each day, we make a choice. And we need to consider that our neighbors may not know the choice they're making. I'm a good person. I live right. I don't have anything to fear before God. I've done wonderful things in my life. Matthew 7:23. So Christ will tell them that, depart from me, I never knew you. Because they never chose to be obedient to the plan God set forth before time began. When he created us, he'd had to have in place a way for us to be reconciled to him. That reconciliation is available to any and all who will choose to obey. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. As I started out with the thought of time, I would like to end with the thought of time. We then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. In an acceptable day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. At this moment, we have time. But we don't know when Christ will return. Brother Frank was very fortunate. He got to the hospital in time this morning. He's been taken care of. There's no guarantee that we, if we were to happen to us, that we would make it to the hospital in time. What you do with the information I provided you is between you and God. All I can do is present you with the fact that Christ came to this earth. He lived among us. He lived a life without sin. He died to take away our sins. If we will take and put ourselves under his authority, if we will take and put ourselves in a place where we believe and act not only on the fact that we believe he is the Son of God, but that he walked this earth. That he took and died and was raised by the power of God. And that we then confess him before men. And as in Romans 6, we are buried with baptism so that the old man of sin may die. And the new man, and I'm using the word man generically here, ladies. The new man, the new person, can rise from the waters to live a new life, to be able to take and have a hope of eternal life that we didn't have before. If you've chosen to obey him and have not walked as you should, if you have not thought of yourself as dead to sin, and have chosen to follow it for a time, we urge you to come back to God and make that right. Because our only choices are to be alive to God or alive to sin. Dead to God or dead to sin. Please make your choice as we stand and sing.